You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I believe in societal norms.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing. Don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend them.
It was horrifying.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's Andrew Gundling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
That's right. Andrew Gundling filling in for Peter Rosenberg tonight. He has the day off. He'll be back tomorrow. I think that was a new intro.
Yeah, I think it sounded like it.
Yeah.
With terrific
me,
stuff.
Me screaming at Don in the intro. Very nice. All right, guys, let's get started here. Michael, how are you?
I'm a lunkhead.
And also, Michael, how are you?
Sing the Mets thong.
Yeah, what was that? Thong?
The Mets thong. Yeah, I don't know. One more for Michael. How are you?
Virginia Beach. Take a walk, clown.
And one great one from Don that I don't know if Michael was here to hear this one.
If college football was a big steaming pile of dung, he'd be living inside it. Rubbing it all over his face.
Who are you talking about, Don?
Talking about Paul Feinbaum. And I got caught up.
You usually do. It's
no, because I was just saying, because we were talking about his credibility and how much he knows college football, because he actually has Fields above Wilson.
Right.
And so I said, like, he's in the college football. Like, if college football were a pool, he'd be right in the deep end. But then I got into the steaming hot pile that you like to say.
Right. And sometimes you can't get yourself out.
It led me right into what I think is a steaming hot pile of, and I said dung, and I just continued with a train of thought, which really was spectacular.
It almost felt like off-air Don wandered onto the air.
Yes. And that's so dangerous.
But when done correctly, it can be fun.
Yes. All right, let's get started here. A couple games going on in the afternoon that were not previously scheduled to do so. We'll start in the NBA with the Nets. They're in Minnesota playing as we speak after last night's postponed game. No Karl Anthony Towns for the T-Wolves. He's with his family today. It's actually the one-year anniversary of his mother's death from COVID-19. No Kyrie Irving or James Harden for Brooklyn, but that has not been a problem. The Nets, they're in a break right now, so I don't have the score in front of me. They were up 40 a minute ago. Yes, it's now 123-90. The Nets are having no problem with the T-Wolves this afternoon, as you probably would have expected. Mets also game one of their doubleheader right now. It's a seven-inning doubleheader, both games 7 innings, so they're creeping up on the end of it here. It's top six right now. They lead the Phillies 2-1. The Phillies have been putting men on base every inning, it feels like, but then doing the Mets a lot of favors, running their way out of situations, yeah. And it's not going well for them, but good for the Mets.
I follow some Philadelphia media types, and I guess they tried to steal third base with a runner on second that has good enough speed to score, and then they got thrown out.
It was awful. It was Roman Quinn, who was on second for the Phillies.
Who's very fast.
He's very fast, but he's not good at much else. And he stole third, but then I think he thought the throw went over Luis Guillorme's head. It was a really high throw. Guillorme did a good job to catch it. And so Quinn then, it looked like, started to kind of move off the bag as though he were maybe making a turn for home. And Guillorme had the ball the whole time, and that was that.
Well, see, oh, no. I looked at it differently because it looked like Guillorme was going to come down on his leg, and he almost moved to get it out of the way.
Hmm.
Either way, it just didn't work out. I never understood the benefit of trying to steal third with two outs.
No, and like Michael said, his only positive attribute is speed. You're in scoring position. I don't know. Didn't make a whole lot of sense. But
oh, stop. Your Phillies are showing.
You're right. But they're down 2-1. Game two should be a good pitching matchup. Aaron Nola and Marcus Stroman in the nightcap. Let's see. Michael, you kind of casually mentioned this earlier, but we have the audio now. Chris Sims was on Adam Schefter's podcast, and he had some really big praise for Zach Wilson. He said he would actually take him over Trevor Lawrence. Some people are going to think that Sims is just kind of being that guy with a comment like that. Will he address that?
the other thing that bothers me sometimes is people think, oh, you're just doing this to be a shock jock or, you know, get clicks or attention. I know. And back to your point to where we started this out, where I want to go, wait, I want to work maybe in a front office in the NFL one day. I want to be right on TV and doing my job. I don't want just clicks. That's not going to get me anything. You know, I did Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow as the number one quarterbacks the 2 years before that. I just call it like I see it, whether it's popular or unpopular. And Zach Wilson, when I just look at him, Shefty, I just go, man, I see some Rodgers and Mahomes-like qualities in his game.
Well, there's a couple of things that I'd like to address. Number one, I think Chris Sims is great. I think he's great on Sunday Night Football. I think he's tremendous. I've always thought that he couldn't come on our show because of ESPN and where he works. Well, if you can go on Schefter's podcast, I expect Chris Sims on the show tomorrow. I think you have to put a call in. I want him on the show tomorrow.
I would like to have him on as well, unless Schefter's actually doing that independently, but I don't think he is.
No, it's an ESPN-affiliated podcast.
I know Chris. I worked with Chris. Chris takes.
We broke Chris in here.
Yeah, and he takes it very seriously. I didn't know about the part of him wanting to become a general manager, but I figured he wanted to be, you know, an expert, an analyst, not some shock jock who's just going to come on and say something for clicks or and attention. Because, listen, you're not going to be looked upon as much of an expert if you get things wrong. So if you're going to go out there and put your opinion out, make sure it's something that you actually believe in. And that way, if you fail, at least you failed on your own merit, not just trying to get clicks. So he may be wrong, but he honestly does believe that he believes that Wilson is a better quarterback than Lawrence.
I think so, too. And then he went on to support it with a lot of info. Here's Chris Sims going on with what he loves about Wilson.
When there's nothing there, all right, the protection's not that great and nobody's open, what are you going to do? And to me, that's where the special ones are special, like Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen in our game right now, where, oh, hey, nobody's open and we didn't protect that well. Well, I'll dance around and move. And don't worry, guys, you keep working. And then I'll make a 30-yard laser throw. And, hey, first down, even though it was a bad play call that nobody executed, look at that. We changed field position and made a big play. And that, to me, is like the element Zach Wilson's going to be able to bring to the New York Jets eventually.
Love it. Can't wait to watch him.
Yep. So there you go. Something for if you're a Jet fan that trusts Chris Sims, you should be excited about hearing that.
Phillies have tied up the Mets, by the way.
An infield single for Gene Segura. It's 2-2 now.
At top of the sixth inning, first and second.
Speaking of the Mets, this is a bit of a Mets story here. I don't know if either of you guys saw this. Joe West, the umpire, is $500,000 richer today. He won a defamation of character lawsuit against former Met catcher Paul LaDuca. Now, here is what it stems from. Have either of you seen this?
I did.
Yes. You did? Okay. Back in April of 2019, LaDuca was on the Favorites podcast on the Action Network, and here's what he said about Joe West. I had the transcript here. He just said, this is LaDuca talking, "We're playing like a really tight game against the Phillies, and Billy Wagner comes in from the bullpen. I used to go to the mound every time and be like, what's going on? And he's like, hey, Joe's behind the plate. Set up a couple more inches inside. I was like, are you kidding me? Joe hates me. He's like, no. Joe loves me. I go, he hasn't given us the corner all day. He's like, don't worry about it. He literally throws 10 pitches, strikes out three guys. Joe rings up all three guys. 8 of the 9 pitches were at least 3 to 4 inches inside, not even close. Guys were throwing bats and everything, and Joe walks right off the field. I get back into the clubhouse, and I'm like, what the bleep just happened? And Wagner just winks at me. I'm like, what's the secret? He's like, Joe loves antique cars, so every time he comes into town, I lend him my 57 Chevy so he can drive it around, so then he opens up the strike zone for me. So that is what LaDuca said about Billy Wagner and Joe West. Here's the problem for LaDuca. Joe West was behind the plate one time for a Mets-Phillies game in 06 and 07. Those are the years LaDuca and Wagner were teammates with the Mets. And Billy Wagner did not pitch in that game. So reading now from the New York Post, they write, the court awarded West $250,000 for, quote, past mental anguish and emotional distress, and another $250,000 to compensate for expenses he will need to incur in retaining a public relations firm to formulate and operationalize a sufficient reputation remediation plan.
Well, and also what played against it is Billy Wagner testified and said that never happened. So that doesn't help. But I think Joe West was asked for $11 million. So he got $500,000.
But it's still a win.
It's dangerous. And the reason why he fought this, You know, I think he's 30 games away from umpiring the most games in Major League history by anybody. And he wants to go to the Hall of Fame. And he thinks that if a story like that is out there and believed,
yeah,
you know, it would put him in the same category as a Pete Rose, and he wouldn't get it. I don't know if he's going to get in the Hall of Fame anyway, but that's why he fought it. And so in terms of, like, the cleaning up, I guess you have to hire firms to make sure that story goes down all the way when you Google something. You have to put positive stories in front. I don't know why that would cost $11 million.
I just thought I saw it from John Boy last night, and he was telling the story and says, only problem, West never caught an inning of Wagner with LaDuca behind the plate. Easiest half mil West has ever made. It, listen, Paul LaDuca was here with the Mets, and you know, there were a lot of issues too. A lot of allegations when he was here about relationships with the Latino players and everything. But he was a good player for the Mets and all that, but if you're going to just flat out tell a story that didn't happen just for, you know, entertainment purposes, and listen, I'm no Joe West fan, but that's not right.
I think people get caught up down when they're on podcasts. I don't think anybody's listening. People are listening.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What are you doing it for if you don't think anybody's listening?
You know, as a favor, just, a goof, I don't know.
It's just not bright to do something like that. It really.
And I guess the Post got a hold of him and he hung up. They asked him for a comment and he hung up. I don't know if he has to pay that out of, I guess he does have to pay, right?
Well, if not him, who would that come from?
I guess the podcast company.
I don't know why the podcast company would be responsible.
Well, I think the podcast company already did pay West from what the story said. Now, this was personally against LaDuca.
I would think it would come from him. But
yeah. Also, somebody, Al Gwiz on Twitter, Don, correcting you that the first game's 9 innings. No, Al Gwiz, you're wrong. It's 7 innings and 7 innings. All doubleheaders are 7-inning games. So this is a 7-inning game, tied 2-2, bottom of the 6th. I love when people correct you when they're wrong.
I just tweeted him a question mark. Like, what are you – like, what? Listen, I wish it was 9 innings when it was 2-1. And I don't know what to think.
Nets and T-Wolves just went final. 127-97 is your final there. Brooklyn and Philly tomorrow night on ESPN, I think, actually.
You excited?
I am, yeah. Be curious to see who's playing for Brooklyn. I kind of want them to have as much of like a representative squad as possible to get a sense of where these two teams are in comparison with each other.
Catch a bit of a break, right? It'll be the second of back-to-backs now for the Nets. And, you know, some significant travel, not a lot, but, you know, normally you would not schedule a game in Minnesota and then back on the East Coast the next day.
I wonder if they're going to play Durant, because they played Durant a lot more minutes than you'd think he'd be in a game that was a blowout. DeAndre Jordan, who hadn't played in 5 games, actually saw a lot of action in this game as well. So a big 30-point blowout for the Nets.
Yeah. Staying with the NBA, brutal blow for the Nuggets yesterday. If you were watching last night, you knew it was bad. And sure enough, today it was confirmed that Jamal Murray suffered a torn ACL. He's obviously out indefinitely. Denver's 4th in the West right now. And remember how valuable he was to them last year in the bubble in the postseason. To give you an idea of how crucial his injury could be, here's how Las Vegas saw it. Caesars of William Hill had the Nuggets at 16-1 to win the championship before the injury. Those odds, as of this afternoon, have now dropped to 30-1.
Whoa.
Significant, yeah. Here's Jalen Rose talking about the impact of the Murray injury.
The Nuggets were a true contender in the Western Conference with him healthy. Now that he has a torn ACL, Jacoby, it's so very unfortunate because the West is so tough, they could likely now lose in the first round. Mm-hmm. That's how significant this injury is.
Yeah, it's a brutal blow for them. I mean, they'll still be good. They have maybe the MVP front runner right now in Nikola Jokic, but I mean, their title hopes, I think, went out the window last night. That was tough to watch.
You know what made me a little bit weirded out by that? Supposedly, Murray, his knee has been bothering him for a couple of weeks. And you wonder why he played, and that's the knee that gave out. So his knee was, in fact, bothering him. And if you watch the play, he was just driving to the lane. I guess he landed in the wrong way and tore his ACL. That's a long rehab.
Yeah, tough break for him and for the Nuggets. Also in that game, Steph Curry scored 53, and he became the Warriors' all-time leading scorer last night, moving past Wilt Chamberlain. Chamberlain had held that record since March of 1964. It was the oldest franchise scoring record among all active teams.
Okay, I'm not going to take anything away from Steph, but you know, Wilt Chamberlain played a lot of time with the Lakers too. So
yeah, and Sixers.
Right.
No, that's true. It's amazing he's held it as long as he has. But I think Steph is deserving of having that title now.
An amazing player.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's see. Matt Rhule met with the media in the wake of the Sam Darnold trade. This comment comes from him about the Panthers in the upcoming draft. I'd say it was a little bit eye-opening.
We need another really strong draft. So at the eighth position, we'll be flexible. We'll look to take the best player available. We'll continue to look at quarterbacks. You know, I've been impressed going around and watching some of these guys throw. So we'll look at anything and everything.
Do you think there's any possible way the Panthers select a quarterback with the eighth pick after just trading for Sam Darnold?
I doubt it. I hope he's posturing to try to get people to trade up into that position, because there's five quarterbacks that could go in the first 10 picks, 11 picks. So, if one of them's left over the eighth spot and a team wants him, if they think that, the Panthers might take him, maybe he gets a draft pick out of it.
Yeah, I mean, if Kuiper's right and Justin Fields could be there at eight, wouldn't you want anybody to think it's possible you would take him?
And Trey Lance could be there.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And
so,
the kid from Stanford could be there.
It's not a bad thing to throw out there. Now, Kofi reminds me on Twitter, Michael, before we really kill that guy that tweeted me about it being a nine-inning first game of the doubleheader. Mm-hmm. When the Mets and Marlins play the doubleheader on August 31st, the first game will be nine innings.
That's because it was suspended.
Right. It's the continuation of the suspended game.
I'm sorry, I don't give that guy a break.
Well, I'm just saying that could have been his confusion.
But he's sitting here telling you you're wrong, and he couldn't be more dead wrong.
Right. No, I'm just saying that it's not completely out of nowhere. I think that's probably where the confusion lies.
What a good guy Don is to mount a defense for the guy who right. tried to embarrass him.
Right, and I want to eviscerate the guy, and Don's defending him. It makes me sick to my stomach.
Really? Come on, we've had such a great show.
The guy's correcting you when he's wrong.
That's the one thing
that bothers me. People can have opinions on social media, but when they come at you with an attitude and correct you when they're wrong, it's indefensible.
I know, but I just wanted to get all the facts out there.
I think the guy should be thrown off Twitter.
Let's see.
That should be the rule Jack Dorsey should put in. If you correct anybody and you're wrong, you lose Twitter privileges for a year. And you see how quickly people wouldn't correct you.
It would change Twitter for sure, in probably a good way. Let's see. You guys mentioned Mel Kiper. With regards to that Panther pick, by the way, he has them taking Devontae Smith. In case you were wondering, he's got the Jets obviously taking Zach Wilson, and the Giants he has taking a wide receiver, Jalen Waddle. Mm. That would be a little bit surprising after spending all that money on Kenny Golladay.
Michael, did Conforto just get hit by a pitch?
He did, yeah.
And the Mets are going nuts because it was up and in. And Dominic Smith is in the dugout pointing at his head toward Alvarado. I don't know. It must have hit the bill of the cap, Don. I'm seeing a replay now.
But
there
was another pitch that was – it was another pitch that came close to his head, and then he hit him again. The reason I asked was because I saw the argument. I was wondering, did they call Conforto for leaning in? But I was just trying to figure out exactly what happened there. But
it's funny.
At first base.
Alvarado is pointing to the dugout and said, just shut up. I mean, he's like pointing his hands like, just shut up. Go away.
Yeah.
So there's a runner on first base in the sixth inning, two outs.
Speaking of which, one last story here. It seems like the Rays are not ready to put the beanball issues from over the weekend against the Yankees to bed just yet. Kevin Kiermaier spoke to the Tampa Bay Times. He said, it's very frustrating. We'll see where it goes from here. I don't think it was a very good look on their part. And we have every right to be frustrated about what happened throughout the weekend. He went on to say that you can sit here and think about what if this had been flip-flopped, I guess meaning if it was the Yankees who were getting hit. He said it would have been a lot more of a controversy. I truly believe that.
Oh, you mean like it's been for the last 4 years? I mean, I like Kevin Kiermaier, and he's sticking up for his guys, but they've been taking target practice at the Yankees' heads for 4 years, and now they're going to get upset that four guys got hit?
Man.
Come on. You can be upset, but don't say, like, if it was the other way around. It was the other way around for four straight years. It was target practice.
Apparently, they disagree. those balls just got away, Michael.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, that's a good point. And that is ENN for this Tuesday.
What a phenomenal way to end a great show.
Phenomenal. Don's very happy with the show. So am I. And by the way, Peter's back tomorrow. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. The Met doubleheader, Yankees against the Blue Jays, the Nets and the Sixers. We'll preview that. The Knicks have a big game as well. What a show. Coming up, the Rangers, and Don's going to be involved in that as well. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See everybody. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.